Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We left off last lesson at verse 23. So we'll pick up, we may have gotten a little farther than that, but we'll start at verse 23 just to get a running start.
Keep tradition.
Keep a running start, yes. So, but Paul is getting into the corrective part of the Lord's Supper for the Corinthians. We know last week Paul said he couldn't praise them for how they partook. One was drunk, one ate before another, and they were lightly esteeming each other. They weren't waiting on each other. They didn't have the Lord's Supper in their mind at all. There was not a fellowship meal. What's that?
Carnal feast.
It was a carnal feast. That's exactly what it was. It was a carnal feast. And Paul says in verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.'" So he's given them, that's the order that he's given them. And you notice that we compared that last week with how it was laid out in the Gospels. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where the Lord, well, let's take another. What's the matter?
It says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So is it a stopping point there?
A stopping point
of taking communion.
Well, I'll ask you that. He says, "As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup." So, how often is your often? When he was talking to the Corinthians, how often was his often to them? What?
At your liberty.
As he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup."
You know what I just did? I forgot what was in Corinthians.
Where are you?
No, I was thinking before the cross.
Okay, well, we're going to go back before the cross, because that's the point where we brought out last week is he didn't tell them as often as you do it.
That's what I'm lost
at. Yeah, not until the king.
I'm with you now.
So let's pick up, we won't look at all of them. Let's pick up Luke chapter 22. I think that's
14, 16,
40. What is it? 14? Yeah, 14. Through 14 through 20. Yeah, let's go 14 through 20. Luke 22. Verse 14 says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down," that's the Lord, "and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, 'With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Okay, so I got distracted. I heard something I thought I heard something. Okay, but you see, we're here he says, I won't drink it, what? Until I do it in the kingdom. And we got to go to the other one, because the other one was more descriptive than this one. He actually tells us what I want us to read. That would be in, I think that was in Mark. Mark, yes, 14:22. So in here, in Luke, he says, I won't do it until the kingdom, right? Until I do it new in the kingdom. What kingdom is he talking about? The earthly kingdom, that's promised. The earthly kingdom that he came to fulfill those promises to the children of Israel. Mark 14:22, he says, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup when he had given thanks. He gave it to them and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Once again, he's referring to what? And the kingdom that's what? It's future. We may as well get the other two. Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Does that sound like often, James? Does that sound like as often as we do this? What is the Lord telling them? Does this sound like often? He's doing it what?
One time.
And then he said, I won't do it what?
Until the future kingdom.
And we just read in Corinthians, Paul says, I'm telling you what?
To do it as often.
As often as you do it, what?
Until I come. Do it for
deliverance. What's the difference?
Time.
Time?
Present versus future.
They're remembering back versus... Yeah.
They're remembering forward. We remember what?
Back.
He's telling them to do it what?
For future.
That we'll do it again.
Together.
Future together. And he's telling us to do it what? As often as you want. Yes. He's telling them, I won't do this again. Until we do it new, where?
In the kingdom.
We just read, Paul says, now I got this by revelation. That's what Paul said. He says, I'm giving to you what I got from the Lord. He said, the Lord said, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
We just read it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had broke it, he gave thanks and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you."
Mm-hmm.
After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he says to them, "Now, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, if Paul was consistent with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he would have said what? As a matter of fact, if he was consistent with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he wouldn't even be writing about this. Because they would not be taking it.
Right.
So, but he says, now, I'm giving you this by revelation, and as often as you do this, which is, number one, is what? It's voluntary. And it could be frequent.
Or not.
Some people do it
every
once a month. Some people do it every Sunday.
I think where I'm tripping up at is it says when he comes. So should we be thinking about when he comes, future kingdom, not when he comes, when he came back alive out of the cross?
Future kingdom.
Okay.
Now that's one of the points where we're looking at now. He told the disciples, he says, "I won't do it until we do it again." What?
In the kingdom.
New, out here, in the kingdom. This happens before. Here's the supper right here. They're doing the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking towards the cross.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, he told them. He says, "I've been waiting." I'm paraphrasing this. He says, "I've been waiting a long time to eat this with you." He eats the Passover and then becomes the Passover
mm-hmm.
himself.
Exactly.
And he says, "But we won't do this again until we do it here in the kingdom."
Israel.
Yeah, right. The kingdom.
Well, specifically, he says, until it be fulfilled.
Until it be fulfilled, right. Until it be fulfilled in here. So, were you here last week?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My body was.
Yeah, okay. His body was.
But they didn't know about the mystery.
They didn't, right. They have no idea about this. But there is a, pray for me, we go through this. My mind is, I'm trying to squeeze all this information into something that will make sense. That last week we talked about what has to happen before they fulfill this. He has to, after the cross, you notice that we still have what? You got 7 years to go of tribulation, and then you have the kingdom that comes after that.
And you got the 1 year extension he did.
And all that comes up. All we're just grouping this together.
Okay.
So this is after here, after this, the Lord gets rid of his enemies, then they eat and drink in the kingdom. And we went to some passages that we covered about that eating and drinking. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Abraham returning from the Chedorlaomer's slaughter.
Right.
And
so
victory.
Right. So I'll give you some instance. Try to give you an instance. Like Abraham. Do you remember that? Abraham, when he went and got Lot?
Mm-hmm.
And then he met Melchizedek, and he gave him bread and wine after the slaughter. after he recovered those who had been taken captive. Okay. And we went to another example, didn't we?
Maybe.
I
can tell you. We didn't talk about AI and all that, did we?
No.
I think at that point I was just listening. I wasn't writing notes anymore.
No.
I think you went into a lot of detail on that one, but you didn't cover.
I didn't cover.
Like really extensively.
Okay. Well, let's look at this. Just an example, one I can remember. Look at Genesis
14:11-9.
Yeah, that was Abraham in that passage. Look at Genesis 24. This is just to try to give you an idea of the significance of that term, the eating and drinking, and how it relates to conquering your enemies. Okay, Genesis 25, verse 49. Sorry. Now, Abraham is sending, Isaac is going to, he's picking out Isaac's wife, Rebecca. Okay? And so he's going to pick out Isaac's wife. All right? 49 says, "And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I might turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, good, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife." As Abraham's son, let her be Isaac's wife. And the Lord has spoken, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Why do you think they did that?
Before a king.
Say it again.
They're going before a king.
Going before a king. Well, she's a woman, but they're going before. They're honoring her.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are they honoring her? Who's she getting ready to marry?
Isaac.
She's getting ready to marry Isaac. Who's Isaac? Big deal.
The promised child.
That's.
The lineage,
that's,
the sea line.
That's, listen, you know what? I sometimes we take some things for granted as we read, but when God is focusing on these people, you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going out like Isaac. If you think of Isaac, he's a king.
Mm-hmm.
He's in line. He's God's conqueror. In line for the throne until they don't know about Christ coming, but they're going, he's going through the progressions. Okay, so if Isaac's a king, who's Rebekah?
Queen.
Why, that's why they're doing what?
Showering her with gifts.
If she was nobody, they would say, "Look, we're coming to get her, put her on this camel, let's go. We got to get back." But they've given her these jewels and precious stones to give her mother these things. The next verse. "And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and she said, 'Send me away.' And he said, 'Send me away to my master.' And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto her, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Let me ask you this before we keep going here. If we just read that they ate and drank, right? Mm-hmm. What would you expect to be in this passage?
Depends on what they were eating and drinking.
A burnt offering?
Well, let me.
It's like, I mean, the other ones were following victory from a war.
Say it again, please. The other ones were following what?
Victory
from a war.
So this is leading to Christ. So that's
a
victory.
Okay.
In that sense, maybe?
Yeah, just stay with this passage. Don't go too far ahead. Let's go step by step. Don't look. When you know that the last passage was what? It was victory in a war. And you think, let me write this down so we can.
In other words, in the context, that victory in a war was in the context of Abraham. What's the context here?
Yes. Say it again.
They have a celebration.
That's right. They're having a celebration. But this is where the key words I want you to keep in your mind is, and these all go together. Say it again. You know what? You can say C, but the main thought is this. You have
royalty, your king.
You have victory. What?
War,
enemies. These are going to be some key words that you should see. Some of these words you should see in here. Don't read ahead. Okay.
I was just rereading what we read a minute
now,
ago.
Because I want you to see the significance of this.
You put them up on the
front of your first.
Oh, thank you. Okay. 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Do you remember what we said last week about
David and Saul?
Yes, David and Saul, but in particular the numbers that we talked about.
Honor God.
Yes, we just passed the 10 that I didn't say anything about. I wanted you to pick that up on your own.
We failed.
So, and we just got to what? Thousands of millions. Why didn't he say, "Be thou"? Why didn't he say, be thou mother of a bunch of people?
Because it's not honoring God.
Okay.
And it also, it's speaking to a belief about the future. Just like when Adam named the woman Eve, meaning the mother of all living.
Right.
So this is like prophetic.
Now, yes. Do you think they know what's going on here?
Nope.
Of course not. Was he saying that for her sake or for your sakes?
Written for
no doubt for your sakes.
Examples.
Look, he says, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them.
Victory.
How can you possess the gate of those that hate you unless you do what?
Yeah.
Unless you go to war. And what? Yeah. Overcome them. So look, but you know what? The little catchphrase was in the previous verses that they sat down and what?
They drank.
Okay, One more thing.
I don't think we got advanced.
I'm advancing us.
I'm tracking.
All right, flip back to Flip back to Genesis. Flip back to Genesis. Well, we're in Genesis.
It's like the Ethiopian said, how can I know unless the man teaches me?
Genesis.
What are you looking for?
I can't remember the 19. Genesis 19. I'm sorry, 18. And this was before, this is when Abraham. Say it again.
Yeah, when I saw what it was, I remember the story. That's all I said, I remember the story.
I can't find the verse that I'm looking for, but this was before Abraham was going down to where they were going to destroy Sodom. And the three men met Abraham in his tent. You recall that?
Mm-hmm. Did they go into the tree?
Verse 2.
Where is that?
18.
Okay. 18. Okay, 18 too. Let's see what. Yes. Verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, look, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set before them, and they stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And we can't read all this. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way. And he goes on to talk about some things too. But before they destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, what did they do? Why? Why didn't they just go tear the place up?
Because the eating and drinking precedes the battle.
It has to. I know there's more instances in here, but let me show you something in Luke, or John. John, let's look at John. I'll try to shorten this up a little bit. You can't do. That in itself, it could be a whole lesson. Just looking at those examples.
We don't have a deadline, but we got to be through First Corinthians.
Well, yeah, we do. John 6:33, and you guys, you can help me out. It says, John neither ate nor drink. He neither ate nor drink. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't like that. We have to find that verse. I can't remember. I know I didn't write anything down on that. Matthew 11? Matthew 11.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Let's just look at that and then move on. Thank you. Matthew 11, 18. Thank you, Jenny. That's verse 18. Start at verse 9. Oh boy. Go back to verse 1. Just verse 1 for a moment. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know what John was looking, for?
He was looking for the second coming, the Christ of the second.
He was looking for the victory. He's looking for the war.
Yeah.
He's looking for the enemies. He's looking for the reign. He's looking for the enemies to be conquered. If that was the case, if the Lord was really the king, John would say, what am I doing? What am I doing in jail?
Yeah.
If this is what we're supposed to be doing, why am I in jail? Go ask him if he is the right guy. We should be doing what? We should be eating and drinking, man. Why should we be eating and drinking? Because we should be getting on with this. So we can eat and drink here. Okay, watch what John said. Verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. He said, we're trying to get on with the kingdom business. But those who resist us, look where John is. They're trying to suppress it. They are suppressing it. He's in jail. They're not making his path straight, are they? They're trying to impede his progress. His forerunner, they've already put in jail. And guess who's next? The Lord is next. Now, verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But where shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. 18. For John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say he hath a devil. Now, why did they say, why did the Lord say John didn't come eating and drinking? He knew what they were going to do.
It's not time for war.
Yeah, that's,
it's not, it wasn't, it's not time for it. It's not time.
That war comes at the second coming.
Not quite. You're close though.
I mean, Christ has got to fight that battle first on the cross.
Close.
One has to precede the other.
That's even closer. What are you saying?
I don't forget.
Okay, he said this. When they asked John, are you the Christ? He said, I'm not him. Mm-hmm. He couldn't come eating and drinking because he's not the man to bring all this to pass. I'm just opening the door for the man.
Okay.
So John, he said, hey, I didn't come eating and drinking. And they said, well, he hath a devil.
I'm following.
Okay, so, but look at
part, I don't get.
Well, that's, they just found fault with him.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, think about it. He came out of the wilderness. He's wearing Elijah's rough clothing. He's eating locusts and wild honey.
Okay.
It went from the prophets that wrote there was a coming king to the one that's, John is the greatest because he's the one saying,
I'm the what? I'm the forerunner.
Yeah.
Okay.
He says, I'm just opening the door for one that's greater than I can't even untie his shoes.
I see.
Fair.
So I'm not the, are you the Christ? No. Are you Elijah? No. Who are you then? I'm just a voice. Don't look for me, but there's one coming after me. He's the one. And guess what? So if John didn't come eating and drinking, what would you think the Lord would be doing?
Eating
it. Let's see what the scripture said in. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. What you mean, Lord? He says, if you're smart, the Lord's wisdom, then you know he's the right guy.
Say again, I'm sorry.
You know he's the right guy.
No, what you said before that. I'm sorry, I was writing, I didn't hear something about wisdom.
The Lord.
Wisdom is justified of her children.
Okay. And then you went to elaborate.
Oh, if you're the Lord's wisdom, if you're, you know, there was people that were here, they waited. Anna,
yeah.
Simeon,
yeah.
These people, they were waiting for the Lord.
The wise men showed up right on time.
How did they know that? How did they know that he was coming?
They read Daniel.
They knew. They did. Yeah, so wisdom is justified of her children. So when he shows up, you know what? They said, you know what? You got to be the Christ. You remember when the Lord saw Nathanael? He said, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. And he says, how do you know me? He said, before you were under the fig tree, I knew you. And he was like, what? He said, you must be him. And he said, if that's all it takes for you, y'all got to read that. John chapter 4, 3. Let's try one. John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, we have found him. Listen, wisdom is justified of her children. We have found him of whom?
Moses.
Who?
Moses.
Who?
Moses
in the law and the prophets did.
Right.
Who? Who is him?
Jesus.
The what?
Son of Joseph.
What? They found him. How did they find him? What's the matter?
I didn't hear the verse and I didn't want to interrupt.
Okay. He says, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. You know, Nathanael, when he sees Nathanael, he says, behold, the Israelite in whom is no guile. And that's, just think, if you saw somebody off the street you had never seen before, and he says, there's Blake, my main man. My main man, I've never seen you in my life. Why would you say that? He says, how you know me? And he says, I saw you, what? Before Philip called you, when you was under the fig tree. I must be... Don't you, look. Philip say, wow. He made a quick connection.
Yeah.
If I see you downtown, and I said, well, hey, Blake, my main man. You said, how do I know you? Man, I saw you at the class before you came down here.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. You see that? Mm-hmm. So Philip, or Nathanael, you know what? He was impressed. Mm-hmm. Look at the next verse. He says, and Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, you a smart man. What did he say? Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's this. Now listen, he just drops that little tidbit on Nathanael, and Nathanael, he's all in. He said, you're him.
He's been studying, he's been ready, he's been watching.
He said, you're the King of Israel. And the Lord was like, that's all it takes? He said, You wait. You wait. Look at John chapter 4. Thirteen. 4:13. Jesus answered and said unto her, this is the woman at the well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he said, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Look down at verse, well, let's keep going. And God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man saith, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? They went out of the city and came unto him. In the mean while his disciples prayed, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Look at verse 40. We're just going to skip for time. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and saith unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have what? Heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, I picked those two verses because I want to set you up for this. When we look at things like this, mm-hmm. where you said, you know what? That's, you don't see that. That's why I'm showing it to you. Mm-hmm. So you will see it, and you won't be believing because what I say, you'll see it and he'll speak to you. How did they know he was the Christ?
They had some knowledge.
They had some information. The lady went back and said, This is the man. They didn't believe her until what?
They saw it
and heard him. So I could, if the information is what stimulates those people back then, mm-hmm. what's going to stimulate you? So they knew he was the Christ because of the information that he laid out for them. He said, Look, I saw you under the fig tree. Automatically, bam, he makes the connection. He says, Go get your husband. I don't have one. Yeah, you're right. You hit five. And the one you have, he's in there. He's in there. So when you're reading and he's just dropping these things in there, just dropping them in there. You know what? I call it effulgence.
Effulgence.
You know how you have somebody who's like glorious. I just picture this. Picture a celestial being, and when he walks, you just see stardust floating back
in its wake.
That's effulgence. He's just glowing and right, and the dust. It's just flowing off of him.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, when the Lord's going through the crowd and he said, "Who touched me?"
Yeah.
And it's, what are you talking about?
Everybody's touching you.
Yeah. He said, "No."
A touch of faith.
Yes,
he said, "He says, I perceive."
That word, we've heard that word.
That what? I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Remember? I'm saying those things because this is when you start seeing these things where that's just one thing that the Lord is, he's just effulging, that's not a word, I don't use that, effulging these things out. And
they're there for us to pick up if we're looking.
If you're looking, but
spiritually aware.
But this is the end. This is the end. It's not just to say, "Well, look how smart we are."
Right.
Is if he could do that in his word, mm-hmm, back here, mm-hmm, and have the confidence. If he can say that to those people and have their soul, their unwavering confidence in him as he's the Son of God, and then tell that woman that, and she can just believe and say, "Come see this man." If they can do that, and then we sit and we see these things, we pick these things out. If he says to you, "Listen, I love you. I gave myself for you. Now, present your body back to me. I want to use you." If you appreciate those things, he won't have to ask twice.
No, it's a privilege.
So, and you have total confidence in him that what he will do with you will be the right thing. Mm-hmm. If he said, "Listen, you're saved once for all."
Mm-hmm. Nothing can separate
us. Why would you doubt him? If when you see that effulgence, when you know what, you caught some of that aroma, like you said in Hebrews, that if you taste it, you have tasted that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. If you see all that, and he said, "Louise, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, in everything, in prayer and supplication, talk to me. Let your request be made known," and said, "and the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds." You think he's making that up? Do you think he means that? And he said, "Listen, anytime. Anytime you want to." And he said, I did all this. I'm not saying I'm going to do everything you're asking me now, but just come and talk to me. Get it off your mind. And he says, I guarantee you, he said, "My peace will keep you." So you say, "Well, you know what? If you start asking for things he didn't promise, you'll say, 'Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe it because he's not showing up.'" And he's, but he's, if he tells you, he said, "This is what I'm saying to you, that I'm promising these things to you. Not these things that they went through, the things that are ours, the spiritual things." There's a guy, we'll say this in close, that I was talking to a lady at work today, and she was, her uncle was in the hospital. He had, I don't know, whatever he had. Anyway, his everything started shutting down. They put him on a ventilator. His kidney shut down. They said, we need to put him on dialysis. They were going through the whole checklist of things. So she's praying. She said, well, pray that the Lord would lift up Uncle Jim. Pray that the Lord would heal Uncle Jim. I said, listen, was Uncle Jim a believer? And she said, yeah, I think so. I said, the Lord has already said that this body is going down, not up. Oh, when I say down, I mean this. It's going down. We're aging.
The outer man is perishing.
Right. It's going down. No matter how many patches you put on it, it's going down. He said, "I'm not raising this up." You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not raising this up. It's going down. So the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So for me to sit down, and this is how good God is. You can sit down and say, Lord, please heal Uncle Jim. Please. Just one time, Lord. I know you don't normally do it, but do it for me.
Just one time.
Just one time. I'll be ever so grateful. You know what? Say it again.
Your will be done.
He already told you what it is. He already told you what it is. And when, you know what? Today, they call and they say, well, Uncle Jim's up. No, they didn't say that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They said, Uncle Jim is dead.
Absent from the body, present with
the
Lord. He got his healing.
He got his healing. Uncle Jim... Listen, if Uncle Jim would call, could call,
he would want to come back. He's a
knife in a pass. See,
you and they'd say, Uncle Jim? And he'd say, you know what? I'll see you.
When you get here.
Right. I won't be. No, I don't want to come back. But it's knowing what God wants to do. So, and being at peace with that. Yes. So that's why, you know, I try, you know, you do those little things. It's like building blocks of faith up. So, and you know what? He does those kind of things. Like I said, it's effulgence. It's accidentally on purpose.
People would just get it in their heads that this is his program, not theirs. And you're here for his purpose, his service, and his pleasure, not your own.
But the thing is that we don't know it.
And that's why, you know what, when you try to point those things out, and it gives you, like Paul said this, Paul wrote to the Philippians, and we'll close it. He wrote to the Philippians when you quoted that passage. He's in prison. He's writing to them to rejoice in the Lord. And when he finishes up, he says, look at Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to stop. Man.
Peace of God, which surpasses all other things, guard your heart and mind.
I know we didn't get to the Lord's Supper, but we, I know.
Oh,
I
no, we can go.
This is very good.
Philippians 4, verse 10. Okay, 6. We won't go to 6. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known. Requests, plural. Be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Here it is. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye lacked also, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's Paul. He said, look, I'm telling you something that I know. That I've learned. How do you learn? You go through it. He says, I got the information experientially.
Scars.
He says, I won't tell you that he'll comfort you if I don't think he would. Could, can, and will. He said, I learned this. I learned how to abound. I learned how to be abased. He said, you know what? I've been naked in the deep. I've been howling a hog. He said, you know what? If he didn't know who he was serving, when he got naked, he would say, you know what?
Just didn't work out.
Been nice.
He wouldn't be like John said,
go ask him. Go look all the way to the end. So when he writes back and he says, James, hang in there, man. Don't doubt me. Hang in there. He was, Blake, I'm good. You can trust me. And you know what? Get with some people that know. And it'll strengthen. Like Paul said, he said, at the end, he says, in Timothy, he says, I'm in prison right now. He says, it's all over for me. Bring me the books. Bring me the cloak. And he says, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Nevertheless, he said, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Ooh, wonder what he said to Paul. You know what? Paul's in there by himself. Nobody's there. And the Lord, you know what? Just thinking that the Lord pops up in the vision. He said, hey, man. It's all right, brother. Hang in there. It's almost over, brother. Hang in there. He said, we'll get to it. We get to it. Boy, that's what's going to keep you going. So we'll pick it up next week, hopefully, to finish.